Hashem, we want to continue with our study of Sanhedrin Be'iyun. There are a number of different topics that are on the agenda, different issues. We'll talk about all of them in Mirtz Hashem over the weeks to come, depending upon how much time we have until Bein Hazmanim. We've spoken about two categories of Gzela, Kofar B'Pikadon, which is Betera Siliado, as opposed to Shlichus Yad, which is a Maisa Gzela with Kinyan Gzela. There's a whole sugi about Shara Niskal. Is Shara Niskal put to death because of the owner of the Shar? Had a Shara Niskal impact on Ben Noach? We have a whole issue about Melchemes Amalek. Is that called a Melchemes Mitzvah? Our Mishnah says that with regard to a Melchemes Rishus, we need the okay from the High Court, from Beis Din. We want to speak about another principle called Moshe as a representative of the entire Sanhedrin, as a one-man show. He's Bimko Mayan Aleph. We want to speak about Kfir. How do we enforce the din once it's been issued? And a number of other topics. There's a sugya that we haven't covered yet about Echad Kosher Ladun. The whole sugi of Bezdin Shokol and Bezdin Noteh, and that's what we want to talk about. But for tonight, we'll get started immediately. We're looking at the Mishnah, and the Mishnah at the beginning of Sanhedrin has an entire list of how we break down Bezdin and how many judges have to sit on the court. And the Mishnah finally gets to the highest court in Bezdin, and that is a Bezdin Shel Shivim the Echad. And in the case of a Beis Din Shel Shivim the Echad, the Mishnah says, "Ein motzi'in l'milchemes rishus LLP Beis Din Shel Shivim the Echad." If we're talking about a milchemes mitzvah, that's one thing; it has its own rules and regulations. But if we're talking about a milchemes rishus, then the Mishnah says we need the decision of Beis Din HaGadol, which is made up of 71 elders, 71 dayanim. Now, if you take a look at Rashi, which is the fourth of the wide line, Rashi says, what's Milchemes Rishus? Kol Milchama Koy Rishus. Every Milchama that you can think of is called Rishus. That means it needs a Beis Din HaGadol. Levad mi Milchemes Yoshua. The only exception is Yoshua. Shahoysa Milchama Lichvoshes Eretz Yisrael. Lichvoshes Eretz Yisrael. That is a Milchemes Mitzvah. That doesn't require the Beis Din of Shivim V'Echad. That's an absolute chiyuv. What I want to discuss with you tonight, first and foremost, we'll get back to this issue about Melchama, is the status of Moshe Rabbeinu. Mm-hmm. We have a principle called Moshe Rabbeinu Bimkom Shivim V'Echad, that Moshe Rabbeinu himself could decide laws that normally would require the highest court in the land, Shivim V'Echad. So that's the subject of our discussion tonight. We're going to begin with the Rambam in Hilchus Melachim, and you'll see on your page that he quotes the Rambam, who says, "Ein ma'amidim melech b'tchila el al pi bezdin shel shivim zekenim." So in order to appoint a king in Israel, we need the agreement of the bezdin of 70 zekenim. V'al pi navi Kiyoshua. And we need also, in addition to the Shivim V'Echad, the agreement of a Navi. And here, the Rambam gives the example of Yoshua. And he's appointed as the Melech B'Yisrael, Shemino Moshe Rabbeinu U Beis Dino. Now, what do you derive from those two extra words, U Beis Dino?
That there was Moshe and others.
Right, it wasn't Moshe as a one-man show. He didn't do it alone. It was Moshe U Beis Dino, U Kishol, V'David, Sheminam Shmuel V'Ramasi U Beis Dino. So whereas in the case of Yoshua, it's Moshe and his Beis Din that appointed Yoshua. In the case of Shol and David, it was Shmuel and his Beis Din who appointed, whether it be Shol or David. So the Brisker Rav, in his commentary on the Torah, in Parshas Baloscha, raises the following question. Why does the Rambam have to add Moshe U Beis Dino in order to appoint Yoshua? If Moshe is part of it, if he's the one who's initiating it, Then we have a principle of Moshe Bimkom Ayin Aleph, that Moshe has the status of 71 elders. He's a one-man show, as we would say. Has nothing to do with the Prime Minister of Israel. That's some say that he's also Bimkom Ayin Aleph, at least until midnight. I don't know what happens after that. But in any event, getting back to our discussion, how could it be that the Rambam requires a Beis Din to support Moshe Rabbeinu in appointing Yoshua as the Melech? Why don't we apply the principle that Moshe Bimkom Ayin Aleph, he himself is an embodiment of the entire Beis Din HaGadol? To Moshe Bimkom Shivim V'Echad Kod. Isn't this a fascinating question? I don't know if this captures your fancy. It really engages my mind that the Rambam would add that Moshe Rabbeinu has to support himself with the Beis Din, and it can't be a decision of Moshe. That's what you get from the Rambam if you read the Rambam carefully. Or sometimes we read the Rambam, we don't pay attention. But if you look at the Rambam and he says Moshe Beis Dino, why? Why does Moshe need a Beis Din? Moshe himself embodies the entire highest court of Israel of Ayin Aleph. So in order to answer this question, the Brisker Rav is going to derive the following conclusion. That there are two historical periods. We have to find exactly where the transition point is. In one period of time, Moshe needs Shivim V'Echad. But in a different period of time, he can operate on his own. Now let's understand when this pivotal transition took place, and which came first. So according to the Brisker Rav, originally, at some point in history, Moshe could serve as a one-man show, as we said, Bimkom Shivim V'Echad. But that changed. At what point did that change?
With Israel.
Exactly, when Moshe Rabbeinu got the command from Hashem, Asfal Li Shivim Ish Mizikney Yisrael, which means gather together 70 elders and form the Beis Din HaGadol. At that point, Hashem was saying, thank you, Moshe Rabbeinu, with all due respect, but from now on we need a Beis Din, a real Beis Din.
It's not the advisor of Yisrael, right? It's later.
Right, we're going to open up the Chumash, Bli Neder. Maybe I'll give you this. Do you have a Chumash? I have a Chumash here. See if you can open up. It's in Parashas Baaloscha, I believe. Should we try to find that? Could somebody do that for me? Because we only have an hour, and it's not even an hour. We started a bit late. So it turns out that Hashem commands Moshe to gather together Shivim Zakenim and form a Beis Din. Because up until that point, there was no Beis Din. It was only Moshe Rabbeinu. But once Hashem commands Moshe to create a Beis Din, then from that point on, Moshe Rabbeinu is uprooted or mufka from that status, that position as a Beis Din. And that din that Moshe Bimkom Shivim V'Echad is batel. Now, when we get to the minui of Yoshua, what's going to happen at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's career, in the 40th year in the Midbar, at that point, it's already after the parasha of Asfal Li Shivim Ish. Where is it?
Yud Aleph, Pasuk Tet Zayin.
Yud Aleph Tet Zayin. So if you want to open up the Chumash to Bamidbar, Yud Aleph Tet Zayin. And I was guessing it was in Perek Yud, so I wasn't so far off. And from that moment and on, Moshe Rabbeinu now has to create an entity which is called the Beis Din HaGadol of Shivim V'Echad. When he gets to Minu Yoshua, which is way later than this parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu could no longer serve as a Beis Din because he was already commanded to create a Beis Din HaGadol. Everybody with me on this? So we now understand why the Rambam, when he describes Moshe Rabbeinu appointing Yoshua, he mentions Moshe Ubeis Dino, because this is after Asfali. It's at the end of Baaloscha, is it not?
Yeah, more or less.
Maybe. All right, we don't.
After the parasha of.
Oh, maybe it's after.
Bidolanim.
Yeah, what's the language of the pasuk? Can you read it out loud?
Right,
but the minui of Yoshua is going to come much later. If I'm not mistaken, how far are you from Parshas Pinchas?
This is towards the end of Shishi, like two thirds way through Shishi.
Pinchas is, yes, later.
No, but Pinchas is
Yud Gimel.
Oh, sorry. Pinchas is
Chavah. Right. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, at the end of Parshas Pinchas, Moshe is called upon to appoint Yoshua. See if you find that.
In the middle of Kapei Pinchas.
So that's much later. So Rabosai, when did the entity of Shiva V'Yechad, that Sanhedrin, come into being? When Hashem commands Moshe, Asfali Shiva M'Zakeinu. Up until that moment in time, there was no Sanhedrin. So who functioned as the highest court in Israel? What's the answer? Moshe himself. There's only one issue here that I want to call your attention to. This whole presentation of the Brisker Rav stands on one premise, and that is that there was no such thing as a Bezdin of Shiva V'Echad until Parshas Baloscha in Perkid Aleph, when Moshe gets the command to appoint Shiva M'Zakeinu. If I were to tell you that there was an institution called a Sanhedrin even before that time, then obviously you need a Sanhedrin, and Moshe Rabbeinu can't fill that. You know, why would there be a, you follow what I'm saying? If the whole thesis stands or falls on the assumption that up until Asfal Li Shivim's came, there was no institution called Bez Nagol. All there was Moshe Rabbeinu.
And it was not an option that he can do things by himself, he can appoint things or decide things by himself.
Correct. I mean, there were many decisions that had to be made and many different issues that came up that require a Bez Nagol. I mean, just to throw out one example would be Milchama. But there are many examples that you can give.
So what of the status of the people that were appointed after Yitol? What is there with the Asahot and the Alafim? What are they? They're not a Beitim.
They're a Beitim, but not a Sanhedrin. Those are the smaller courts. And presiding over the highest court was Moshe Rabbeinu. But again, now we have to raise the following question. Was there a Bezdin? Was there an enterprise, an institution called Bezna Gadol way back in the day? Let's say you give a very good example. At the time of Yisro, after Yisro's council, his recommendation to create a whole judiciary structure, was there such a thing as a Bez Nagadol? If there was, then apparently Moshe Rabbeinu had no power to serve as an individual guy, because the Torah is requiring a Bez Nagadol. So this approach to the Brisker Rav is very exciting if you assume that the entire enterprise, the institution of a Bez Nagadol, emerged, came into being for the first time with Asfal Lecha Shivim, Shivim Ish, V'Siknei Yisrael. So let's take a look at the left column here. By the way, Joel, maybe you found where
it was in it's Kafav Pasuk Samachay.
Chavav, okay, Samachay, and what does it say there?
It says, Ki Amar Hashem Lahem, Mot Yamutsu, Bamizbar, Lo Notam Nehem, Ish Ki Im Kalev, Ben Yukunan, Yashua Ben Nun.
No, I'm looking for the Pasuk. What? Wait, you're going too fast for me.
Sorry.
Binyamin, where is it?
At the end of Kav Zayin.
The end of Perek Kav Zayin. Is that in Pinchas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Vayas Moshe kasher tziva Hashem oto, vayikachet Yehoshua vayamideh lufnei Elazar Kohen bnei kol ha'eda, vayishmoch et yadav alav vayitzaveu kasher diber Hashem ber Moshe.
Okay, so that's where Yeshua gets the appointment, at the end of Parshas Pinchas. We're almost ready for Sefer Dvarim. I mean, in other words, this is the real end of Moshe Rabbeinu's career. Mm-hmm. So the Rambam adds that at that point that you described of Moshe appointing Yoshua, Moshe did it together with the Bezdin of Shiva V'Echad. Because in order to appoint a Melech, you need Shiva V'Echad. Moshe Rabbeinu has the status of Shiva V'Echad. The answer is,
That's too late. It's too late now. In an earlier period of time, before in Parshas Baloscha, that before Moshe got the command to create this institution of Shiva V'Yechad, before that period of time, Moshe could serve as a one man show, as we called it. However, it's not so clear that Asfal Li Shivim Ish is the first initiation of a Beis Din Shel Shiva V'Yechad. And the reason for that is, as you point out very well, Binyamin, if we go back to Parshas Yisro, let's open up to Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Ches, 18:18, when Yisro says, Navolti bol gamata, gama om hazeh. This is really early in Moshe Rabbeinu's career. It's not long after Yitzias Mitzrayim. You remember that Yisro joins the people of Israel when he hears about Kriyas Yamsuf. And Rashi says, based on the Mechilta, what does it mean when it says, Navol Tibol Gam Ata? Says Rashi, L'rabos Aaron V'chur V'shivim Zekenim. Now Shivim Zekenim is a Beis Din, what we call a Sanhedrin, the great Sanhedrin. What's going on over here? This is way back in the time of Yisrael. It sounds like this enterprise, this entity of Shivim Zekenim as a Sanhedrin, predates the parsha in Balo. So it goes all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu's, the beginning of his career. Why do we need Ayin Zekenim? If Moshe Rabbeinu has the status of Bimkom Ayin, so why do we need it for? Now, if you fast forward in that same chapter to Pasuk Chav Gimel, where it says, V'gam kol ha'om hazeh. Yeah, you want to read that out loud? Well, is there a Rashi there? On Pasuk Chav Gimel?
Yes.
You want to read out loud for me? Gentlemen, this is a group effort here. Yeah, I need your help. I'm going to have to stop in the middle of the shit to get some water here because I... Say again? Excellent. Read out loud slowly.
Aharon Nadav Avihu. What's the abbreviation?
Ayin is Shivim. It should say Shivim.
Yeah, Shivim is a Kainim.
Nilvim Ata Imcha.
Same thing.
Again. Rashi is very consistent. Way back in Parshas Yisro, in Shmos Perek Yud Ches, there's already a Shivim Zekenim. The whole enterprise of Shivim Zekenim existed even at that time. So let's just summarize. Hare, Daya Parsha Shel Bezna Godel, if Nea Parsha the Asfali Shivim Zekenim. This is way before Parshas Baaloscha. Now the Gemara in Shavuos talks about the function of a Beis Din of Shivim V'Yechad, the Sanhedrin Agdola, to expand the Kedusha, the sanctity, the geographic location of Yerushalayim. That's called Lohosif Al Ha'ir V'Al HaZoros. So in that sugi in Shavuos Daf Tezvav, Rashi writes in his Pirush Al HaShas, U'bimei Moshe Dehu Melech V'Novi V'Shivim Zekenim. Again, Rashi says that during the time that Moshe served as the king of Israel, he had Shivim Zekenim. So again, Rashi is clear that there was a Beis Din of Ayin Aleph at the time of Hakamas HaMishkan. Because again, Rashi is addressing the issue of Kiddush Machne Yisrael Machne Shechina, and Rashi is saying that that process of Kiddush was effectuated by Shivim Zekenim at the time of the Hakamas HaMishkan. Once again, we're going back to the early moments in Moshe Rabbeinu's career. And there's already an enterprise, an entity called Shivim Zekenim, and they're going to effectuate the Kiddush, the sanctification of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan, of what we call Machne Yisrael and Machne Shechina. Now the Rashba in Masechta Shavuos quotes the Rimi Gash. The Rimi Gash is one of Chachmei Sfarad. Mm-hmm. He spoke Spanish, the Rimi Gash. Mm-hmm. Hablo Español, right? Mm-hmm. The Rimi Gash was the Rebbe of the Rambam. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're really going back in time. Mm-hmm. And the Rimi Gash says that when Rashi quotes at the time of Hashkomas HaMishkan and Bezen Shalayin Aleph, something is off base over here. Lekalamei Medayinu Bezen Shalayin Aleph, it cannot be, as Rashi would have it, that already at the time of Hashkomas HaMishkan there was an institution called the Bezen Shalayin Aleph. Lo Hoya Oz Bezen Shalayin Aleph, Rak Moshe Hoya Bimkom Ayin Aleph. So whereas Rashi insists that at the time of HaKomas HaMishkan there was an entity called a Bezdin of Ayin Aleph, the Rimigash insists that at this point in time Moshe was a one man show. Hare the Pligi Rashi v'Rimigash im hoya Bezdin HaGodol b'shas HaKomas HaMishkan das Rashi a Bezdin HaGodol lifnei parashas asfali shivim ish. We saw it in Yisro and now we're seeing it in the Rashi and Shavuos with regard to HaKomas HaMishkan. In Cain, if that be the case, if that's Rashi Sheet or Tikshi, let's ask the question. Am I Nifka Moshe Midin Shahavi Bimokom Yud Aleph? Why do we remove Moshe Rabbeinu from his status as a substitute for Ayin Aleph? Acha Shedemel Moshe Asvali Shivim Ish Kfar Niskarish Din Shal Sanhedrin Lifnea Parsha Shal Asvali Shivim Ish. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu served as a Bezdin Shal Ayin Aleph. The old tzorach even kfar hoya bezdin hagodol lifnei haparsha shel shivim ish man ischadish hayde haparsha shel asfali shivim ish. Let's ask even a more simple, almost a first grade question that a child would ask: why do we need the parsha of shivim ish if already way before that parsha there was an institution called shivim ish? And the first question again is: why do we assume that the Asfali Shivim Ish, according to Brisker Rav, removes Moshe Rabbeinu from his status as a one-man Bezdin of Shivim Yechod, if already at the very beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu's career there was an entity called Shivim Ish, of a Bezdin Shal Shivim, and yet Moshe Rabbeinu could serve as a replacement for Shivim Ish? So we're really at this point in the dark. We're really very challenged. We're going to go on now and study Parshas Yisro, but I have to apologize. I must get something to drink. I'm so drunk.
Is there water?
Hot water if you can put into it. Hot water. Leave the cold water so it won't be too hot.
Okay.
Do you follow me? Don't spill out the water that I had. All right. Now, let's open again to Parshas Yisro. Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Chav Beis. Yisro says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'ahaya kol adavar gadol yaviu elecha." Please underline the word hagadol. Now, if you fast forward a few psukim towards the end of that parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Es adavar kasha." Hashem says, "Es adavar kasha yaviu el Moshe." So you want to underline the word HaKosha. So whereas Yisro says Dovr HaGadol, Moshe Rabbeinu is given the command of a Dovr HaKosha. What's the difference between a Dovr HaGadol and a Dovr HaKosha? It can't be totally, coincidental that there's a shift in the word here, the terminology.
When Baruch Hu says many things are just read over all the years, there's a difference. I just read over that all the years. I'm embarrassed. There's a difference in
and
the words.
And you missed it, yeah. By the way, the Chassam Sofer makes a big drush on this difference. He says that in the mind of Yisro, the only thing that has to come to Moshe Rabbeinu is a Dovr HaGadol, which means a certain very hefty sum of money. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with this concept, but in America at least, they have something called petty courts. And those courts are very, you know, they have, I don't even know if it's a judge or whatever, it's just a matter of up to like $100 claim or something. Small change, right? Thank you so much. So that's why when Yisro proposes that the heavy duty stuff come to Moshe Rabbeinu, he's talking about expensive cases. But the Chassam Sofer points out that's not a Jewish philosophy. In Jewish philosophy is din pruta kin din mea. No matter how much it is, even if it's one pruta, we take it very seriously.
Okay.
Thank you. So the Brisker Rav tackles this question. What's the difference between a Dovr HaKosha, as Hashem says it, right, and a Dovr HaGadol, the way Yisro said it. He says the following. There are two dinim in Beis Din HaGadol. Two functions of Beis Din HaGadol. Number one, in certain cases, we need Beis Din HaGadol. These are judgments that require Beis Din HaGadol. For example, the Mishnah says here at the beginning of Masechta Sanhedrin, Ein donin lois hashevi lois hanovi, LLP Beis Din HaGadol. So if we want to judge a Shevet, let's say if we conclude that most of the Shevet worship the Avodah Zarah, or we want to judge a Navi as if he were a Navi Sheker, then we need Beis Din HaGadol. And there are many other cases that require Beis Din HaGadol. Like we spoke about before, expanding the location, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. That's called a Davar HaGadol. A Davar HaGadol means it's so bombastic, it's so significant, with such great repercussions, that it requires the High Court. Beis Din HaGadol.
That's a different interpretation of the word Gadol than what the Chatam Sofer explained with Trose. This is on the content.
Correct. This is something that's no get to all of Klal Yisrael for all generations. Can imagine what it means to determine that this Novi is a Novi Sheker. Mm-hmm. That has tremendous repercussions in Klal Yisrael. Now we're going to get to a different din, a second category, a second function of the Beis Din HaGadol. What's that? Nolad Safek, if we have a doubt in the halacha, or machlokas, we have a debate in one of the dinim. And again, this is a very important decision because, you know, the dinim, once they're decided, they go into the transmission of Torah. And we're left with a stalemate. Yeah. We cannot find any conclusion. All we can do is call for new elections. That's the best we can do. That was a joke, but nobody laughed. Yeah, I don't know why you don't laugh, because such a stalemate is horrible. Yeah. And it's just, you know, don't even read the news. It's just so. So here we need a hachra. Hachra means a final decision, a verdict, because there's a deadlock. And who's going to finally decide that deadlock? So we know what the din is. That's going to be Beis Din HaGadol. And that's based on the parasha of Zaken Mamre. In Parasha Shoftim, it says, Ki polei mimcha davar la'mishpat, v'kam tov alisa, you go up to the Beis Din HaGadol, they sat in Yerushalayim, in the Lishkas HaGozis. So we have two categories here. We have a category of a Davar HaGadol that Yisro already understood has to be done through a Beis Din of the highest status, and Moshe Rabbeinu would have to be called upon to either be the one man show or at least to organize such a Beis Din. And then we have what Hashem says a Davar HaKosher, which means an additional function and responsibility of Beis Din HaGadol to decide the law when the law is unclear. It's very interesting because in the West, in democracy, we have what's called the legislative body of government. Every Western country, correct? Like in the United States, it's what's called the Congress, which is made up of the House of Representatives and the Senate. Every country has its legislative body. But in halacha, the legislation is given to the judiciary. There are very narrow areas in which the Melech, the King of Israel, could legislate laws. But there's no separate body of legislature. There's only two parts to the Israel system. And that is, there's the king, and then there is the Beis Din. Fine. So based on this breakthrough, the Brisker Rav about Davar HaGadol, like Novi Sheker, etc., and Davar HaKosher, which means Achra in Din Min HaDinim, Niridi Yesh Lomar, the Kodem Parshas Asfal Lishivim Ish, Bemes Hoya Kvar Torah's Beis Din Shalayin Aleph. We had many proofs that the institution of Torah's Beis Din of Ayin Aleph predates Asfali. So what's Asfali? What does it mean to create this entity called the Beis Din HaGadol? But the answer is that although we needed a Beis Nagol, we had a Beis Nagol of Shiva V'Echad from the beginning, from the dawn of Jewish history, when they left Mitzrayim, that was only to preside over a Dovra Gadol. However, as far as the Dovra Kosh is concerned, the Beis Nagol, with all due respect, they didn't have jurisdiction over deciding the law. Because who is the ultimate lawgiver who received the law from Hashem? Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore the Dovra Kosher, that was given into the hands of Moshe Lachud, only Moshe Rabbeinu. He had the exclusive domain and authority over Dovra Kosher. He was the final machria to decide all sfeikos, all doubts, all machlokas, all controversies about the law itself. Now Yisro comes to Moshe, and at that point already there is a Beis Nagadol to decide what we call a Dovra Gadol, and it was Moshe. Moshe was deciding a Dovra Kosher, and Shneim Donim Kol Adinim Bein Dovra Gadol Bein Dovra Katan. And what this means is that we had a process of judgment which was instant, which was what word am I looking for, which was engendered or created by a Beis Nagadol or by Moshe Rabbeinu. Beis Nagadol in the case of Dovra Gadol and Moshe Rabbeinu in the case of Dovra HaKosher. Now he says the following. What bothers Yisro's mind? Why does he come forward and say, Novel Tifol, Gam Ata Gam Om? What he's trying to say is, Atem Tiyu Donim Dover Golo Kamo Mikodem, Chay Golo Koton, Yishpitu Asan Hedri Akhtano. Let's organize a lower court, and there are many judgments that can be supervised and rulings that can be handed down, verdicts by a smaller court, by a lower court, a court of 23, for example. Why is it that the only two bodies of judiciary, asks Yisro, are the Beis Nagadol for Dovra Gadol and Moshe Rabbeinu for Dovra HaKosher? It means that these two bodies are going to be flooded by all the cases and all the disputes and all the issues. We should create a system of smaller courts, lower courts. And that's going to be what's called a Sanhedrin Ketana. Umoshe Hosef, Da Dovra Kosha Ni Levadi Achria, After Sanhedrin Shel Ainaf Lo Yachriya Dovra Kosha. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu insisted, even after the advice, the counsel of Yisro, that as far as Dovra Kosher, that has to remain in my jurisdiction. However, with regard to a Dovra HaGadol, here is where we can alleviate some of the backlog and the responsibility on the Beis Din of Ayin Aleph and divvy it up amongst lower courts. Right, to expand the boundaries of Yerushalayim, that's already a Dovra Gadol, and we need a Beis Nagadol. And that's why Rashi says in Masechet Shavuos, in the sugya of Hosafas Ha'ir, which took place at the time of Hakomas HaMishkan, that it was supervised and implemented by a Beis Nagadol. Even though it was before the parsha of Asfal Lishivim Ish, there already was a functioning Beis Din HaGadol for Dovra Gadol, like Hosafas Ha'ir. And that dates back to the dawn of Jewish history at the time of Hakomas HaMishkan. What now comes into being at the moment of the parsha in Baloscha of Asfal Lishivim Ish? And that is that the Beis Din HaGadol has the status of a Beis Din even for Dovra Kosher. In other words, now the sfeikos, the doubts and the disputes will be decided by the Beis Din HaGadol. Up until now, the status of the Beis Din HaGadol was only for Dovra HaGadol. Like, for example, Hosafas Ha'ir. or many other functions that had to go through Bezna Gadol, like we mentioned, deciding on the Shevet and on the Novi Sheker and all those criminal accusations. But now the Bezna Gadol is going to emerge as an entity which will be the final deciding body in the legislative structure of Israel as far as all Sfeikus is concerned, meaning a Dovra Kosher. So therefore, Nolad Safek, or Machlokas Bedin Ben Adinim, the Achra, the final decision, is dependent upon Bezna Gadol. And this is where Moshe Rabbeinu's status changes. And he's no longer able to be a one-man Bezna Gadol. Again, as far as Yisro in that period of time is concerned, until Parshas Paloscha, Moshe Rabbeinu still had the status of Ayin Alpha, at least as far as the Dovar HaKosha. But now, that was taken out of his hands with the emergence of this institution called Bezna Gadol in the full-blasted Bezna Gadol. Not just as those who preside over certain court cases and extensions of Yerushalayim and the like, which is called the Dovar Gadol, but even as far as Dovar HaKosh is concerned. Now, what comes out of this whole discussion is that up until Asval Yishivim's Ish Mizikne Yisrael, Bezdin HaGadol had the status of a Bezdin HaGadol only as far as Dovra HaGadol, but not as far as Dovra HaKosh. Moshe Rabbeinu Lechud, he would decide all the Sfeikus, all the Machlokas. And that's why we say that Dovra HaKosh was left in the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says the following: Hoye Moshe Rabbeinu Gam Toras Bimkom Ayin Aleph Gam Le'inyin Bezdin HaGadol. So Moshe Rabbeinu was a substitute for Ayin Aleph as far as not only a Dovra Kosha, but also a Dovra Gadol. So it's a little bit confusing now, because at this point, he's presenting the following thesis, that Moshe Rabbeinu could function in two capacities. Achrei parsha shal asvel li shivim zkeinim in ischadish din sanhen shalayna aflin yin dovra kosha vayilim toris bezna gadol lechol advarim shetzorach bezna gadol vishuv botel hod emoshe bimkom ayin aleph koi umemele b'minu yoshua shayukvar achrei parsha shal li zkeinim is hayemoshe tzorach bezdin. Again, we come back to the Rambam that insists that at the time of Minu Yoshua, at the end of Parshas Pinchas, Moshe had to gather together his Shivim Dukanim in order to appoint Yoshua. So let's just try to understand what he's saying here. He seems to be saying, if I read it correctly, that as far as a Dovar HaGadol and Dovra Kosh is concerned, Moshe Rabbeinu's status as Bimkom Ayin Aleph terminates with Asfali Shivim Ish. And therefore, when we get to the Minu of Yoshua, which is a Dovra Gadol, Minu Melech, and we need a Bezin of Ayin Aleph, Moshe can no longer serve as a Bezin Shal Ayin Aleph. We've already appointed a Bezin Shal Ayin Aleph, and they will have now exclusive powers as far as the Dovra Gadol and the Dovra Kosha. And Shuv Botel, now the status of Moshe as Bimkom Ayin Aleph is completely null and void. So after the parsha of Asfali Shivim Ish, Moshe Rabbeinu no longer has jurisdiction over Dovra Kosha. Now, again, when and in what context was Moshe Rabbeinu's authority as Bimkom Shivim Ish before Asfali? Certainly for Dovra Kosha, that we know. But what about for Dovra Gadol? That's a little bit confusing. I'm not sure why he says, and this is on the fifth line down from the top of this paragraph of Lefiza, you see where he says, Gam le'inyin Dovra Gadol. I'm not sure about that. I would wonder about that. Maybe he has a source for that. I don't know. Now, the Brisker Rav says in the name of his brother of Moshe Soloveitchik, That was my father's Rebbe. Also, he married off my parents. That we're not sure when Moshe Rabbeinu was elevated to the status of Bimkom Bezin Shel Ayin Aleph, would he also have the same status as far as those jurisdictions that only require a lower court, like a Bezdin of Shlosha, or a Bezdin of Chav Gimel of 23 judges? Does that mean, therefore, that Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of Bezdin Shel Shlosha for those things that require Shlosha, and then perhaps a Bezdin Shel Chav Gimel for those that require Bezdin of Chav Gimel? That was Moshe Soloveitchik's issue. The Hevi Raya, he brought a proof from a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah with regard to Kiddush HaChodesh. And the Gemara raises the possibility that a Yachid, meaning an outstanding expert judge, could institute a Kiddush HaChodesh. And the Gemara says, V'eilecha mumcha l'rabim b'Yisrael Yosef b'Moshe Rabbeinu. It sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest mumcha l'rabim, and he can effectuate Kiddush HaChodesh on his own. U'ka'oro le'akadosh baruch hu ad de'ika aron ba'adoch. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, no. Hashem said, no. Moshe Rabbeinu, you need another judge, in this case, Aaron. Hare, what we see clearly is that as far as Kiddush HaChodesh, which requires three judges, Moshe Rabbeinu could not serve as a lone ranger. You know, he needed a Bezdin. And therefore we conclude that the only special upgraded status of Moshe is only with regard to Ayin Aleph, but not with regard to a Bezdin of Gimel. Now you could say that when the parish of Kiddush HaChodesh was given, Moshe Rabbeinu did not have the status of Ayin Aleph. The Rambam in Kiddush HaChodesh in Perkei writes, Kol ma sh'amarnu mikviyas Rosh Chodesh ein osin osay el Sanhedrin shekach nemar l'moshe li'aron HaChodesh hazeh lachem Rosh Chodeshim shekach hu pirush hadover eidu zu tia mesura lachem v'chol ha'omei achreichem b'mkomchem harei d'me HaChodesh hazeh lachem yalfina de Kiddush HaChodesh mosu l'Sanhedrin u'bal korchuk d'kvar oz hoye Moshe l'moshe din bimkom ayin aleph u'mikolakom lahoya bimkom bezdin shel gimel. So it seems that already at the time that Moshe Rabbeinu was given the first mitzvah in the Torah, which is HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, Moshe Rabbeinu already at that point in time had the status of Sanhedrin, but yet he couldn't effectuate Kiddush HaChodesh on his own because Kiddush HaChodesh requires a Bezdin of Shlosha. So this is a very fascinating kind of halacha. You know, you would have thought Yesh B'chal Masayim Mona, if Moshe Rabbeinu has the status of Shiv V'Yechad for a Bezdin HaGadol, how much more so should he have the status of Kal V'chomer, he should have a status of Shlosha for Kiddush HaChodesh. A very odd kind of structure. And now he's suggesting that maybe this proof from Kiddush HaChodesh is not necessarily a convincing proof. Why? Because Kiddush HaChodesh is not effectuated by a minion of Ayin Aleph Zekenim. The Rambam himself says all we need is Shlosha Zekenim. And these Shlosha Zekenim would have served on the Bezdin HaGadol, but the Bezdin HaGadol appoints them to be in charge of implementing a Kiddush HaChodesh. So it's possible that even though Moshe Rabbeinu was Bimkom Ayin Aleph, even for those things that require a bezin of Ayin Al, the highest bezin, then he would be certainly bimkom a bezin of Shlosha, Lidvarim that require a bezin of Shlosha, but Kiddush HaChodesh, you need three dayonim from the Sanhedrin Agdola, not as a bezin Agdol, because there are only three dayonim, but they are, so to speak, the representatives of the bezin Agdol. Lo hayla Moshe din lios b'mokum gimel dayonim mi bezin Agdol. Now, it could be that Moshe Rabbeinu has the status of a bezin of gimel dayonim, but not the gimel dayonim of a bezin Agdol. So there are two possibilities: either Moshe is a substitute for the bezin Agdol, or he serves as a substitute for three dayonim for bezin shel shlosha. However, he can never be Gimel Dayonim mi Bezdan Agadol. You know, three Dayonim that sort of, I don't want to say break away from the Bezdan Agadol, but I mean are appointed by the Bezdan Agadol. But now let's take a look at the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, in Mitzvahs Asei Kufnun Gimel. Okay, the truth is that I wanted to leave some time for the question of Milchama. And I'm looking at the clock and it says it's already past 9:15. So let's make a note. If anyone has a pencil, alright, I'll use a pen, it doesn't matter. We'll make a note where we got up to. Maybe we'll finish this next week, but I want to spend a little time with you, if possible, on the issue of Milchama. Okay then? So this, I didn't a photocopy. If you don't mind, we'll do a rush shot with Torah Shebaal Peh. The Mishnah establishes that for Melchemes Rishus we need a Bezdin Shalayin Aleph, the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin. The Rambam codifies this in the fifth parak of Hilchus Melachim, and he says the following: Ein Melech Milcham Mitchila Ela Melchemes Mitzvah. In other words, we have two authorities for two different types of milchama. With regard to milchemes rishus, we need the highest authority in the land, that's the Bezdin of Shivim V'Yechid. With regard to milchemes mitzvah, all we need is the melech himself. We don't need the Bezdin of Shivim V'Yechid. However, ein melech nilcham tchila, he can only send us out to battle for a milchemes mitzvah. With regard to milchemes rishus, we need Bezdin Shalayin Aleph. Then the Rambam says, "Eizeh Milchemes Mitzvah." Listen carefully. Zu Milchemes Shiva Amamim uMilchemes Amalek. So, if the king decides that it's time to fight the battle against Amalek, the Rambam says explicitly he could do so. He does not need the Bezdin Shalayin Aleph. And the Rambam writes that Milchemes Mitzvah Eino Tzarich Litol Barishus Bezdin El Yotze Me'atzma B'chol Eis. The kofes ha'am latzes. Aval, says the Rambam, Milchemes Rishus, eino motzi ha'am, ela al pi bezdin shel shivim v'yechad. The melech does not have jurisdiction with regard to Milchemes Rishus. For that we need bezdin shel ayin aleph. But in any event, it's clear that the Rambam includes Amalek on the Milchemes Mitzvah insofar as the king could decide on his own that we must go out. He can conscript us and obligate us to go out to fight the battle of Milchama. However, Rashi, right here at the beginning of Sanhedrin, when he defines the Milchemes Rishus, he says, Kol Milchama Kari Rishus. We read it before. Levad, with the one exception, Milchemes Yoshua, Lichmosh Eretz Yisrael. It seems that Rashi holds Milchemes Amalek is not a Milchemes Mitzvah, but rather it's a Milchemes Rishus. And that's a pella, because the Rambam logically is right. We know that there's a Milchemes Mitzvah to defeat Amalek. It's one of the Tariq Mitzvahs. Not only that, the Gemara, actually, it's a Mishnah in Sota, Daf Mem Dal. It says, HaKol Yotze Milchemes Mitzvah, Afilu Kalam Michupasa. And Lechora, Kalam Michupasa applies even to Milchemes Amalek. According to Rashi, the only time that you take out a Kalam Michupasa is for Milchemes Mitzvah. HaKol Yotze Milchemes Mitzvah, Afilu Kalam Michupasa. According to Rashi, that's limited to the case of Milchemes Kibush Yoshua of Eretz Yisrael. It would not apply to Milchemes Amalek, whereas according to the Rambam, clearly a woman would have to go out to battle in Melchemes Amalek. In fact, the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos in Sota writes that Melchemes Mitzvah Haisa Melchemes Shiva Amim V'Amalek V'Noshim Yotzos Afle Melchemes Amalek. So on both sides we have a machlokas here between Rashi and the Rambam about Melchemes Amalek, and there's a twofold nafkamina. The first nafkamina is going to be whether we require Shivim V'Echad. Rashi classifies Melchemes Amalek like all other Melchemes minus Yoshua as Melchemes Rishus, and therefore we require Ayin Alf. The Rambam on the other hand classifies Amalek is Melchemes Mitzvah, so we don't require Ayin Alf. The Melech will make that decision on his own. The second nafkamina is whether women are obligated to Melchemes Amalek. According to the Rambam, yes, insofar as it's a Melchemes Mitzvah. According to the Rashi, no. So when the Mishnah talks about Melchemes Mitzvah and Sota, and says that women have to go out, the only case that applies here, according to Rashi, is Kibush Eretz Yisrael Bimei Yoshua, then I call Yotzin. Only Kibush Eretz Yisrael I call Yotzin, but not Melchemes Amalek, because Melchemes Amalek is to be categorized as a Melchemes Rishus, and therefore women are exempt from Melchemes Rishus. They're exempt from Melchemes Amalek. That's according to the Sheet of Rashi. But let's face the music here. Why is Melchemes Amalek and Melchemes Rishus? The Torah says, Melchamal Hashem Amalek Dar Dar. Tamachot Timcha is a Melchemes Amalek. A mitzvah Melchemes Amalek. So we're going to start with Parshas Ki Teitzeh. This is in Dvarim Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Yud, if you can open up. This is what we call the heter of Eishes Yifas Torah. We all know about that. Well, what kind of mitzvah lends itself to a heter? What kind of milchama, excuse me, lends itself to a heter of Eishes Yifas Torah? So Rashi on Posuk Yud in Perek Chaf Aleph writes, "B'milchemes Rishus Hakosuv Medaber." If there's a Melchemes Rishus, then we're going to allow a person to bring back a lady captive, an Eishes Yifas Torah. Shebel Melchemes Eretz Yisrael, Ein Lomar Vishavisa Shivyo. It's impossible to assume that we take a girl captive in a Melchemes Eretz Yisrael. Sherei Kvar Nemar Lo Sechai Kol Neshama. Yoshua was commanded to destroy all the occupants of Palestine. And therefore, we take no captives. There's no possibility of Eishes Yifas Toar. Does Rashi mention Amalek? Rashi doesn't mention Amalek. He doesn't breathe a word about Amalek. It would sound like Rashi's saying that if there was a Melchemes Amalek, there would be a heter of Eishes Yifas Toar. The Rashi says the only case where there's no heter of Eishes Yifas Toar is the case of Milchemes Yoshua. Let's call it Milchemes Eretz Yisrael just for brevity's sake. So in Milchemes Yoshua, there's no heter of Eishes Yifas Toar, but maybe Rashi would hold that in the case of Amalek, there is a heter of Eishes Yifas Toar, and Rashi is very consistent. Why doesn't Rashi mention Amalek? Because Rashi holds Melchemes Amalek is what kind of mitzvah? A Melchemes Rishus. It's not a Melchemes Mitzvah. And once you classify Melchemes Amalek as Melchemes Rishus, Rashi holds that there's a heter of Eishes Yifas Toar. The only case that Rashi identifies as the exception to the rule, it's outside the pale of the heter of Eishes Yifas Toar, is only the case of Melchemes Eretz Yisrael, insofar as that's a Melchemes Mitzvah. So when you're involved in a Melchemes Mitzvah, there's no time for hanky-panky here, for looking for a beautiful woman. When you're involved in Melchemes Rishus, and that would apparently include, according to Rashi, even Amalek, then you're allowed to take an Eishes Yifas Toar. But there's only one problem. Because Rashi, in his Pirush al Torah, invokes the mitzvah, or the losas in this case, of lo sechaya kol neshama. Rashi says that the reason why there's no heter of Eishes Yifas Toar in the case of Melchemes Eretz Yisrael, is because the Torah commanded us Lo Sechaya Kol Neshava, which means we're not allowed to take captives. Well, let's see how that would apply in the case of Amalek. Well, in the case of Amalek, we also have to destroy men, women, and children. There's no compassion. And therefore, if there's no possibility of taking captives, then there's no possibility of Eishes Yifas Tohar. So even though we don't have technically the Iser Lava Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama, that only applies to the seven Palestinian nations, but what we do have in the case of Melchemes Amalek is an absolute mitzvah, La'abed Es Zecher Amalek. What does it mean, La'abed Es Zecher Amalek? To destroy all the people of Amalek. We don't, as Shaul HaMelech was guilty of taking captives. Maybe he took the children, maybe he took the women, maybe he took Agag, Melech Amalek, whatever he did, he did. But we have to destroy Amalek. No, therefore, Rashi, when he excludes a melchama, mean one melchama, from Eish Yisfas Torah, and he isolates the case of Zion Amamin, why didn't Rashi extend himself to include Melchemes Amalek? Because if his logic is Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama, there's no room to allow captives, that logic should apply equally well in the case of Melchemes Amalek. So perhaps in order to answer this question, we're going to talk about the nature of the mitzvah of Zion Amamim, and then we'll talk with Mr. Shem about the nature of the mitzvah of Amalek. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tav Chaf Hei, Larog Zion Amamim, says, V'over al zeh, if one of the Zion Amim chances you chance upon him and you could kill him, if he doesn't kill him, bito mitzvah saseh of killing the Zion Amim, destroying them. Milvad she'overal alav shenema lo sechaya kol nesham. So the Minchas Chinuch doesn't understand what's going on here. What does the Sefer HaChinuch mean when he says Miblishi Yistakin B'dovar? He won't expose himself to danger. We're talking about a mitzvah melchama. We have a mitzvah melchama to conquer Eretz Yisrael, destroy the Sheva Amamin. There's no room here for being a yellow belly and saying, well, I don't want to put my life into danger. Every melchama, by its very nature, means that you have to put your life into danger. So how can there be an exception if you're in danger? Why does he say the Chinuch Belishi is taking Ledover? How does that make any sense whatsoever? This is the great kasha of the Minchas Chinuch. So the Brisker Rav in his Pirush al HaTorah Parshas Bahar says that although it's true, the Minchas Chinuch is absolutely correct, the fundamental principle is Ein Mashkich Melchom al Pikuach Nefesh. However, Yotzim Gamla Melchemes Rishus, if in a case where he's going out to a Melchemes Rishus and there's no mitzvah at all, then why should he be putting his life into danger? If there's a mitzvah Melchem, I understand that he puts his life into danger. But if it's only a Melchemes Rishus, what's the entity of Melchemes Rishus? I mean, the whole entity makes no sense. You're going to be putting your life into danger for a Rishus? So when the mitzvah is like all other mitzvahs Shabbat Torah, then you could say that this mitzvah, because it's a mitzvah l'chama, it overrides the mitzvah, the principle of sakonis nefashos. But in a case of melchemes rishus, how does that operate? So the Brisker Rav is going to present a whole thesis here, which we'll pick up in Mirtz Hashem next week, b'li neder, because I see it's time for Meiriv. If you don't mind opening the door, if I can trouble you for that. So next week we would like to conclude two discussions. One discussion about Ayin Aleph and Kiddush HaChodesh, and the other discussion about the mitzvah of Melchama and Melchemes Rishus, so whether you have to put your life into danger, and if one of the Zayin Amim comes your way, the Sefer HaKinuch says kill him, otherwise you violate an essay and a Los Hassel, as long as Belishi is talking, but as long as you're not going to put your life into danger. You know, today with all the...
life is a danger for everything, right?
Right.
Every sort of...
All right, then, Rabbi Moshe, I think we accomplished a great deal, and I appreciate that you were able to come. Brian said he couldn't come tonight, he had a wedding. So a wedding is always a good thing after Lag BaOmer. Saratskin.
He's still right when Pastor Yitzchak passed.